Verse 27. It says, as Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, calling out, have mercy on us, son of David. When he had gone indoors, the blind men came to him. And Jesus asked him, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, they replied. Then he touched their eyes and said, according to your faith, will it be done to you? And their sight was restored. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith is a commodity of heaven. Amen. And in Korea, we use the Korean won. In America, we use the U.S. dollar. In Canada, they use a dollar that's not the U.S. dollar. And as a kid, I always looked at magazine covers and I always say, U.S. be like $3.95. Canada, $6.95. And I'd be like, man, Canadians got it bad. You know, they got to pay more for the same magazines I'm buying. But I didn't know that Canada actually uses their own kind of dollar. When I went to Singapore, I realized they also use the dollar. I think, what's Australia? They also have their Australian dollar. All right. I'm not sure who originated the dollar, but that's the currency that many countries seem to like to the term, the dollar. Well, just as each country has their own commodity, right? In jail, what kind of commodity they got? In jail, their commodity is what? A box of Marlboros, right? Yo, I need you to do me a favor. I need an extra phone call. Man, I can't give you my phone call. Yo, I'll give you two boxes of Marlboros, right? The guy's like, all right, so, right? Because the commodity in jail is cigarettes, right? Hallelujah. Because people who don't even smoke, they take the cigarettes because they know they can use it in jail. Well, in heaven, faith also has a commodity. There's a commodity in heaven. And some of you in here are richer than others. That's the truth. And that commodity is called faith. Faith, brothers and sisters, is the commodity of heaven. Hallelujah. Turn to your neighbor and tell him that. Faith is the commodity of heaven. You know, people think that when they have a need, that if God wanted to, that he'll just automatically meet it. But notice in this passage, Jesus didn't say, according to your need, it will be done for you. What did he say? According to your what? Faith. Need doesn't really do anything in heaven. Lord, I need a wife. Lord, I need money. I need. You know, it's like a little kid, you know, that's kind of annoying, you know. Little kids that are annoying, they're like, yeah, I need this, I need that. I need this, I need that. I need to have that video game. I need to have that. You know, it's kind of annoying, right? But if that kid's really wise, if the kid really wants something, what should the kid do? The kid should just choose what he really wants and then ask. Right? But that's why a lot of Christians, they act like little children. Now, I need this, I need that, I need this, I need that, right? But need is not the commodity of heaven, brothers and sisters. Faith is. According to your faith, it will be done to you. That's why we pray. All right? Sometimes you might be like, man, why do I even come out to these Friday meetings? Some of you might be looking for a blessing. Others might just enjoy the presence of God. All right? One of the key reasons that we ought to be coming out is because when we pray, we do something very interesting. We release faith. When you pray, you release faith. You don't see it, but it's happening. Why? Because of the person that's listening. All right? It's like I can get on my phone right now and I have bank on enabled. It's a bank on is a feature where you can use your cell phone to transfer money to other bank accounts. All right, I can get on this phone right now and I could transfer $5,000 to John Michael if I wanted to right now. Hallelujah. I just do it in faith, right, bro? I release my faith and God will provide, right? Now, I could do that right now. I don't see any of that money, but I know that it's going to go to him if I have it in my account, right? I never see that money. I don't count it and give it to him, but it goes. In a similar fashion, when you come out or when you're in your prayer closet and you pray, you're releasing, you're doing a iche, you're doing a money transfer. You're doing a faith transfer. You're releasing faith. That's why we pray. Hallelujah. And the more faith you release, the more God will act according to that faith. You want to see God move in your life? Then release more faith. All right? Because faith not only gets you things from God, but faith is also your means of pleasing God. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right? When you release faith, you praise God. When you praise God, how do you do faith? You do it with faith. When you're praising God into thin air, right? It's not like somebody's like, all right, Judy, I'm ready to record your praise. So that, you know, now we have about 4,600 hours of praise from your lifetime. All right, we're going to add to that recording. All right, ready, Judy? Go ahead. Go ahead, praise God. Nobody's recording, right, your faith like that, right? No one's recording your praise like that. But we still praise into thin air. Why? Because when we praise, we're doing it with faith. And the righteous will live by faith, the word of God says. Hallelujah. That's why it's very important to live life with an attitude of expectancy every single day. You know why? Because God can move mightily in your life every single day. He can either do something immediately mighty, or he can do something gradually mighty. But make no mistake about it, he can do something mighty in your life every single day. That's why we've got to wake up with a sense of expectancy. A person that's full of faith will have that. A person that is apathetic will not have that expectancy. If we want God to move mightily in our lives, we have to approach each day filled with joy, filled with hope, right? You know what's the thing with joy is? When you are joyous through all occasions, all kinds of situations, it's a very illogical thing to do. When you're faced with a hardship, a difficulty, a crisis, and you're joyous, that is a very illogical thing to do. And the world will say, man, what's wrong with you? Why are you so happy? How can you keep a smile on your face when you're going through all of that? But in heaven, it's not illogical at all. When heaven sees that joy, oh, that's just faith. You see that? That's just faith. When a person has no reason to hope, where it looks like situations doesn't give him any reasons to hope, but he still hopes. That's faith. Heaven goes, man, look at Jenny, man. She got nothing in her situations for that hope. I don't know why she's hoping. Man, she's weird. No, heaven doesn't do that. Heaven looks down and says, wow, Jenny, that's faith. That's not weird. That's faith. Hallelujah. That's what God ordained for his people to live by. That's why he doesn't show his people everything. He reveals it. Why? It's because he wants us to live by faith. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, God wants you to live each day filled with faith. You know, one way that I always demonstrate faith is whenever I'm faced with a very, very unfavorable situation where the odds are stacked against me, or it looks like something bad is about to happen. You know what I do? Like, I always pray for favor, and then I thank God for favor in the same prayer. There's something that I've just been learning in the past year. And I just ask God for favor, and then I thank God for favor. And I just go, God, Lord, there's a lot of traffic. And it looks like I'm going to be really late to the Friday prayer meeting. And I'm supposed to set up the praise, and Lord, and I didn't get to even make those PowerPoint slides. I'm sorry, Lord. I was on my own laziness. But Lord God, I just cover myself with the blood of your son, Jesus. I thank you for the cleansing. And Lord God, right now, all I ask for is, God, I just ask for your favor. Lord, I ask for your favor. I thank you for your favor. I thank you that this traffic is going to start moving incredibly faster than it is right now. Okay. And I pray like that in faith. I pray for favor. Right. And when I look up, when I'm done with that prayer, I don't close my eyes, actually. I keep my eyes open. And I'm done with that prayer, and I just look right back up. The traffic ain't moving that much faster. Right? But I just keep thanking God. God, thank you. I thank you. I thank you. Thank you for favor. And slowly but surely, the traffic starts to move. Cars start moving out of my way. And I just have a straight, clear road ahead of me. Every single time I pray this prayer. All right, not every single time, all right? But many times I have witnessed, all right, God move on my behalf. And it's incredible, actually. All right, I have seen things like this. When in New York City, I used to always have a hard time finding parking around my neighborhood in West New York, New Jersey. And at that time, I didn't really practice this as much. But when I did, you know, it didn't happen every time. But those times that it did, I still knew that it wasn't just coincidence. I knew that it was God acting on my behalf. How I came to Korea, right? And I came to Korea because of God's favor, right? The national director of Korea Campus Crusade personally invited me to come to Korea, all right? If the national director did not do that, I wouldn't be here. I guarantee you right now, I would have taken no initiative of my own to be like, I'm going to pick up and go to Korea, all right? It was because God was showing me favor. Favor. And I remember when Brother Michael prophesied that over me. He said, God will start to show you favor in the eyes of those in high positions of leadership. Right? When he prophesied that, I believed it. And I started looking out for it. And it wasn't for another year and a half, and then I saw it. But I believed God that whole time. Right? Hallelujah. And when you release that faith, God releases favor. Right, and I think it's a good thing to ask God for favor, to ask God to give you favor for your job interview, favor for, you know, when you preach or teach, favor when you go out to, you know, evangelize, you know, just God's favor for your finances. You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with asking God for favor. Why? Because when we ask as a child does to a father, a father doesn't see that as wicked. A father loves to give good gifts to his children. All right. The Bible says, the Lord is a sun and shield. He bestows favor and honor. No good thing will he withhold from he whose walk is blameless. The Lord bestows favor and honor, brothers and sisters. And when we release faith, he can release that favor. Hallelujah. And, you know, it's like this cyclic thing, because the more you release faith, the more God moves on your life. And the more you see God move in your life, the more faith you got, right? And you'll be like, man, is that the only way that my faith can increase? Well, the answer is no. There's other ways that your faith can increase. One of those ways, the Bible says in Romans, that faith comes by hearing the word of God. All right? The more you have the word of God in your life, the more your faith will grow. And the more your faith grows, the more you will see God working and moving on your behalf in your life. You see, the more we got God's word in us, you get to see God's nature. That God is like a loving father, and he wants to bless you. He wants to show you divine appointments, open up doors that no man can shut. He wants you, book of Deuteronomy chapter 28 says, God wants you to be blessed Blessed when you go in, blessed when you go out. He wants you to be the head and not the tail. He wants you to lend and not borrow. God wants you to live a life that reflects his favor and blessing. All right? And the more you get of God's word in your life, in your mind, in your heart, and you start to believe that word, the more faith you will have. The more God's word you have, the more you'll see that he wants you to believe in his goodness. The more of the word you have in your life, the more that you realize that he is a rewarder of those who earnestly seek him. The more of God's word you have in your life, the more your faith will grow appropriately. Another key to increasing your faith is to get the word of God in your life. Get the word of God in your life. Prayer, you're releasing faith, then you get to see God move, then that increases your faith. Well, reading the word, it all comes in and your faith starts to rise. It says in Matthew 7:7, it says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Is there an area of your life where you need God's help in? You know, a lot of times it's easy to think that we're not supposed to ask God for too much. You know, God, you've given us salvation. You know, I always hear a lot of worship leaders pray this kind of prayer. And I think it's a noble prayer. I think it can become unbalanced sometimes because it becomes all about kind of, it's like a, almost like a, I don't know how to describe it. All right, but it's a false sense of modesty because it's sort of like, God, you've given us salvation as all we need. And so we're not going to really ask you for anything much. You've given us salvation. What more could we ask for? So, you know, God, I'm just content with salvation, eternal life, and thank you. You know, and there's no faith that goes beyond that. But God doesn't want you to stop with a faith of salvation, being thankful for that. He wants you to be thankful for miracles that will move on your behalf, testimonies that he will add to your life, missions trips that will be filled with signs and wonders. He wants you to ask. But a lot of us, it's easy. We think it's somehow selfish to go to God with our needs. Right? But what did Jesus teach us? Jesus taught us about this parable of this dude that needed some bread for his guests, some unexpected guests. He goes to his neighbor's house in the middle of the night, and it's like knocking on that neighbor's door. And the neighbor's like crying out the window. He's like, man, I got my kids in my bed. I don't know how he did it, but you know, I think Jesus was describing a house. It was just, they were living in the living room, I guess. So I guess he can just shout out the window. But he was just like, man, I got my kids in my bed. My wife's in bed. Man, I don't want to get up and give you anything. All right, just go away. I'll give it to you in the morning. But this dude, he just keeps knocking. He keeps knocking. And he's persistent. And then Jesus said, I tell you that that man is going to get up and give to his neighbor all that neighbor needs. And Jesus told us that parable to show us that God doesn't despise persistence. All right? But he rewards it. If you have a need, ask God for it. Go to God with the need. If you're in financial trouble, all right, go to God and ask for his help. We a lot of times we think financial trouble, we think it's evil to ask God for his provision. Especially if you put ourselves in that financial crisis, you know. Lord, I made my mistakes. I made this mess. So, God, you probably want me to clean up this mess. So, God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. I'll do better. All right? And they don't ask, you know. But you know what? I don't think that way. All right? You know my testimony, right? In college at NYU, very, very expensive. All right, it's still embarrassing for me to tell this story. Because I racked up credit card debt that was in five figures. American dollars, five figures. All right? It's a lot of money. All right, and according to credit card, those calculator things, it told me that it's going to take me like 44 years to pay that off. And I was like, man! And then at the end of those 44 years, you would have paid $672,000 in interest. I was like, what? Lord, how am I going to ever get out of this? And in the beginning, I felt a little guilty. I was like, God, I can't ask you for help. I made this mess. Lord, I'm going to pinch my pennies. I'm going to make sacrifices. I'm going to try to pay this off. I'm going to just pay it off in chunks as much as I can. And that actually, it actually prevented me from answering my missionary call. One of the reasons I didn't want to go into missions right away after graduation was because I had so much debt and I felt guilty about it. And it didn't even dawn on me that I would ask God for help. So I concluded that I would work for like 6 years, right? And just like pay it off in chunks. And I was like, man, I am not going to pay 44 years. I'm going to do this in six. I'm just going to eat ramyun. Ramyun and bagels. Going to be in New York City. You know what I'm saying? And I will only buy Nantucket Necker Big Cran juice, my favorite juice, only once a week. Right? Hallelujah. Maybe even once every 2 weeks. But, you know, I had that attitude, and I actually was not going to go. I knew God hadn't put a missions call in my life. But I was actually going to forego that. I was going to delay that call because I felt too guilty about asking God for help with the finances. Right? And actually, nowadays, Campus Crusade and other, like, InterVarsity, they actually screen your finances because so many people have, like, crazy amounts of debt. Like, if you have, like $40,000, $20,000 in credit card debt, you know, Campus Crusade would be like, we think that you should just, you know, yeah, we don't think it'll work out this time, you know, and they actually do that, right? Because it is a problem. But what happened was I started reading, like, Brother Michael started prophesying these Bible verses over me. Like, when he prayed for me, he would, like, quote certain Bible verses, and I'd be like, why did he give me that? Did the Holy Spirit give him that? If the Holy Spirit gave him that to give to me, that means that Bible verse means something. And he said things like that one verse. It sticks out. The Lord bestows favor and honor, right? No good thing will he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. I was like, man, if I walk blameless before God, right? And blamelessness is not perfection, all right? Because you know what? You can't attain to that kind of. If that was the case, nobody would be blameless. Nobody would be blessed, because as blessed are those who are blameless, whose walk is blameless. Righteous. The word righteous, blameless, same thing, right? No one will be able to attain to that kind of blessing. But that's not what the Bible's talking about. The Bible's not talking about perfection. It's talking about the attitude of your heart concerning the sin patterns in your life. And if you will have a repentant heart, humble heart, where you're depending on God's grace and power to give you victory in over different areas of sin in your life, that God sees as righteous, as blameless, as faith, right? And he will bless you if your walk is blameless that way. But if you're hiding sin in your heart, you're not dealing with it, you know, God's like, go forgive that person. You're like, no, I don't want to do that. Right, then you got a problem. But when we were right, as Oswald Chambers said in my Almost for His Highest over and over again, he said, it is so important that we are rightly relating to God. And the only way you can rightly relate to God is through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you're rightly relating to God through the blood of the covenant, then God sees you as blameless, as righteous. Hallelujah. If I didn't believe that, I would not be able to minister to my students. I wouldn't be able to get up here and preach. Right? Because we all do make mistakes. All right? But it is the position of your heart that God is looking for as a father to a child. And anyway, getting back, yeah, to my credit card debt was so big. And then God's giving me all these verses, right? These verses. And Brother Michael will be like, these weird verses that nobody even, I never even thought of. He said, you know, the Bible says, you know, the silver and the gold belong to you, Lord. And the cattle on 1,000 hills. I was like, cattle on 1,000 hills. I was thinking all these hills, thousands of them. And there's all these cattle on them. I was like, God, you own that. Now that is a bizarre picture. But yeah, if you think about that, God's rich. That all belongs to God, all right? And the wealth of the world is at his disposal. And I was like, man, why don't I just humble myself and ask God for grace? Because you know why? Grace is grace because it's unmerited, because it's not deserved. And I realized that I start to pray, God, help me, Lord. I ask for your help for my financial crises. And as God did that, God started to move. And the interesting thing was, he didn't get rid of my credit card debt first. He made me commit to ministry first. Really interesting, right? Because I was just like, God, I can't apply to Campus Crusade staff. I still got this huge debt that I'm paying off every month. And what I was doing at that time was I applied for a new credit card, and I transferred the balance to there, and it would be like 6 months, zero APR. And then after 6 months, I applied for a new credit card, and then I transferred it to there. And I thought that was okay. What was happening was credit card agencies actually keep track of how many credit cards that you have opened up and closed. You know? So that actually looks bad on your record. And my credit score was like really low. I was at like 560 or something. You can't get a car. You can't mortgage a house. You can't do nothing, right? Credit cards will give you a credit card, but you know it'll be like 28% interest, right? Because they know, man, you got bad credit. We're gonna punish you, keep you down there by giving you higher interest rates. You know, that's just the way it works. Anyway, I committed to staff first, and then God started to show me favor. He started to show me grace. And a check will come in from there. I remember this girl named Helen. I'm not even that close to her. I did a presentation at church, and nobody took my support letter. I was like, I will have these support letters. You know, if you guys are interested, come up to me. Nobody took them. So what I did was I placed them in the back of the church in the sanctuary, and I was hoping people would take them. But the week after that, I checked. Nobody took them either. All right? I was really discouraged. But then this girl named Helen, I don't really know her. And she was like, she came up to me. She's like, Christian, I want to meet up with you and have lunch with you. I was like, okay. So when we met up, she's like, actually, I don't have time for lunch, but I'm going to give you this. Gives me this envelope. Open it up. It's my first big support check. $1,000. And I was like, wow. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Helen. Thank you to your whole family. do you have cousins? Can I talk to your cousins? No? And then I go to L.A. for staff training, right? And by this time, there had been more support. God had already overflowed my staff training amount that I had to raise. I had to raise $5,000. I already raised that amount, overflowing it. And while I'm in L.A., random checks came to me two times, right? One friend was a Chondosanim friend. He was like, Christian, just a short little letter. He was like, I was saving this money for a rainy day, but when I was praying, God told me to give this to you. He's not even like a charismatic guy. He's just like, God gave it. Told me to give it to you. Here it is. Then thank me. Thank God. I opened it up. $1,000 check. Right. And God just started moving like that. Right? And you know what? If God did it small amounts, like $100 here, $100, I wouldn't have really noticed. But God was trying to get my attention. And he was saying, if you release faith, I will release my favor. I will bless you. I don't want you in debt under the yoke of the slavery. I want to set you free so you can serve me. I don't care if you made the mess or somebody else made the mess. Somebody cheated you and you made the mess for you. I don't care what happened. I will deliver you. If you think about the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, right? The Egyptians were, you know, the Israelites were just happy to just leave. You know? They're like, yeah, finally we're free. You know? And you know, hey, Egyptian. Oh. You know, they were just happy to leave. Right? And they were like, you ain't my slave master no more. And God didn't stop there. Did you notice? God also allowed them to plunder the Egyptians. And the Bible says that God made the Egyptians turn favorably toward the Israelites. And when the Israelites came up out of Egypt, you know what they had on? Gold rings, nose rings, gold, bling bling rubies. I mean, men that never wore jewelry in their life, women that never wore jewelry, they got rings and jewelry necklaces everywhere. You know, big old cattle, man, I can't wait for some steak. And they plundered the Egyptians. Why? Because God's grace, right, was on them. And brothers and sisters, whatever mess or trouble you made for yourself or that you find yourself in, Scripture encourages us to go to God with all our needs. He longs to give you the desires of your heart. He longs to pour out his favor upon you. But we need to ask. Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. When you step out and ask for God's favor, his blessings, his increase, you're activating your faith. And when you activate this commodity of heaven, that's when God starts to intervene in our situations. That's when we start to see God's favor and blessing. You know, and when we ask God for blessings and favor and whatever we need, wisdom, whatever we need, it's important to check our motives. All right, because the book of James says, when you ask, you receive not. All right, it wasn't a problem in James, wasn't that you weren't asking. People were asking. But James was like, you ask and you receive not because you ask with wrong motives. It's important to check our hearts and make sure there isn't anything in your heart that will block your faith, right? So if you're asking with impure motives, then come with an attitude of surrender and trust the Lord. If God wants you to forgive somebody, take the step to forgive before you ask God for whatever you need. And when you obey his word that way, he will continue to honor that faith, right? And will continue to release his blessing upon your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right now, I'm going to have a time of prayer. All right. And I think there are things that some of you guys want to receive, right? Whether it be an anointing, right? You might need wisdom. You might need God to, you want God to move on your family's life. There's something that you want, right? I want us to take this time and ask. Think of one thing that you can ask God for tonight. And I want you to ask. And just be like, God, your word says, if I ask, I will receive. Lord, I'm asking you for this today. And then I want you to, if you know that what you're asking for is in accordance to God's will, I want you to thank God for it. Thank God for it in advance. And 1 John says, you know, if we ask anything according to his will, we can believe that we have already received it. All right? God doesn't want you to say, Lord, if it's your will, then give it to me. God wants you to just ask. Let him decide. Don't say things like, if it's your will. It's like a faith-killing statement. You're trying to release faith, and you're killing faith in the same prayer that you're trying to release faith. Right? A lot of times we pray for healing. We're like, God, if it's your will, heal John from this death illness. You know? And the Bible says God wants to give you life. Right? And at times, you know, God has a sovereign will. He may want to strike somebody dead. All right? That's really none of your business. All right? But when we pray, we want to just pray for healing. You don't say, God, if it's your will, heal them. You just pray, Lord, heal them. Lord, heal this person. And when you release faith that way, God will begin to intervene. All right? Hallelujah. Let's close our eyes. I want to take the time and I'm going to pray.